when kids get a diagnosis or when kids are struggling, the message that they get either from themselves or from other people is that this is who you are. And it doesn't mean that anxiety and depression aren't real. Of course they are. It doesn't mean that they aren't incredibly disruptive and challenging and so, so heavy sometimes. But there are things that we want to do actively that change the brain, that change the way you think, that change the way that you experience the world.
Welcome to Season 6 of Flusterclux with Lynn Lyons, where we talk about a family's anxiety and all the big feelings, too. We tackle the serious stuff without being too serious, and I'm your co-host, Robin. I'm Lynn's sister-in-law, and I'm here to ask your questions.
And I'm Lynn Lyons. I'm an anxiety expert, speaker, mom, and author, and I've been a therapist for over 30 years. Parenting can be a flusterclux, and I'm here to help you find your way. I'll give you concrete steps to take and the words to say. Okay, Robin, so I don't know, a few times a year, I feel like it's really important for me to talk directly to teens because there's information I want them to know. And I talk to teens all the time. I talk to them in my practice. I give a lot of presentations at schools and talk to teens. And so teens, I'm talking to you. Here's the thing. There is an enormous amount of information right now, an enormous amount of reporting and language and social media that is really focused on how poorly you guys are doing. And in fact, it gets a little catastrophic sometimes, but the message has been this beating of the drum, certainly since COVID, that there's a crisis, there's an epidemic, there's a catastrophe, and that has an impact. It has an impact both on you and it has an impact on the adults that love you. Right now, you guys are in a world, in an environment in which there is a whole lot of stuff going on. So if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling pessimistic, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling pissed off, join the club. I mean, it's totally warranted based on everything that you guys are experiencing, everything that's going on. But let me just say that the messaging that there's nothing you can do about it, or the messaging that this is who you are, is actually so detrimental. Because what you need more than anything right now is solid information about what helps and what doesn't help with your mental health, with your relationships. And also you need somebody, and I'll be that somebody, to just tell you what's not correct and to give you solid information so that you yourself can become a more critical thinker about how we handle our emotions, how we handle our relationships, how we handle our obligations. You guys need a pep talk, so I'm going to give you a pep talk.
I'm wearing the hat of a grumpy teen right now. And my first question is, why should I listen to you?
Well, Robin, here's why. And you know what? I appreciate that you're wearing the hat of a grumpy teen right now. I come across a lot of grumpy teens. And not only do they say to me, why should I listen to you? But they also say to me, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like they truly tell me I have no idea what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. I do know what I'm talking about because I still am in the thick of this. I am really up on the research, and research matters, everybody, because people can say whatever they want to say. And what research does is it investigates oftentimes the assumptions that we have or the beliefs that we have or the myths that we have. I am still seeing kids in my office every day that I am not traveling.
And how long have you been seeing kids in your office?
This is my 34th year in this job. 34th year. So I've been doing this for a really long time. And you should also listen to me. I hope you listen to me because I am a pretty skeptical therapist. I'm seasoned, right? I've been in this a long time. I've seen the trends come and go. And I do not buy in to a lot of the things that my field promotes. I question, I confront, I can be kind of cynical about what it is that my field promotes and does. If you are feeling like a grumpy teenager, I am very often a grumpy therapist, not at you guys, but about the way that information is given to you, the way you hear things, the way that you're convinced of things. So that's why you should listen to me.
I mean, I'm just going to keep pushing so that every teen gets, as the questions come up. You're not saying you're against therapy. You're against bad therapy.
Yes. No, I'm not against therapy because it's what I do for a living. I'm against therapy that doesn't teach you guys skills and that doesn't give you information that's really helpful. I'm against anything, and it could be therapy. It could be any one of the things that you guys are told that is going to be really helpful to you that is actually not helpful to you. So I'm against any belief that people hold in a rigid way that really needs to be confronted and really needs to be questioned. And there are a lot of things that people learn in therapy, or a lot of things that therapists might talk about, or a lot of things that people on social media talk about that are just not solid enough for me to pass on in good conscience. I like to poke holes in those things. I like to go after those things. Okay, so I want to start talking about the ways that sometimes things go wrong, the things that happen that are not helpful. And as I'm talking about this, as I'm giving you this information, you will likely have a thought that pops up that says, well, I'm different, or that doesn't apply to me, or maybe that might help somebody else, but that's not how it works for me. Or I've tried that and it didn't work. Or I went to therapy and it wasn't helpful. Or my mom's always trying to get me to read books and it's just not how I feel. I just want to say, with empathy and compassion, and remember 34 years of experience, this is how this thing works. So as you're thinking that you're unique and it doesn't apply to you, please just be open to the idea that it actually does apply to you, because there's one thing that's really, really helpful to remember is that the research about anxiety, the research about avoidance, the research about what kids do and don't do that make things worse and better, what parents do and don't do that make things worse and better is really solid. And we know what works and we know what doesn't work. So if you're thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me, please just be open to the idea that it does apply to you, because I hear the same thing in my office over and over and over again. In particular, anxiety is predictable. It is redundant and it is persistent, and it doesn't have any new tricks. It might have new things that it gets anxious about, but it's incredibly predictable. I know how this thing works. As my mentor often says, you're unique just like everybody else, okay? I get it. We're all unique, but these patterns are not. So hang with me here. Here's what doesn't help. Social comparison is a term that we use to describe you comparing yourself to other people. We all do it. The reason we do it is because we are, above all else, social and emotional creatures. So even though we've got all of this brain power, even though we invented smartphones, even though we flew to the moon, even though blah, 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 our social and emotional components, that hardwiring in us, is really, really powerful. So you are going to compare yourself to other people. That's just how this thing works. The reason we're hardwired to do that is because we need to find our tribe. We need to find our sense of belonging, because in the olden, olden, olden days, that meant the difference between surviving and not surviving. So you comparing yourself, you looking at other people, you figuring out where you fit, you figuring out who's your friend and who's your foe is going to continue. That's a part of who we are. Here's where it becomes problematic. When you go on social media and when you are comparing curated images, when you are comparing what people are wanting to show you, when you are comparing all the stuff that's manufactured, you are comparing yourself, your real, messy, unfinished, mistake-ridden, wonderful, screwing up self to something that has been curated and created toward a certain look, a certain ideal, a certain picture of that person. When you are comparing your insides to somebody else's outsides, it is not a fair fight. And I didn't come up with that phrase, but I love it. Be aware of that social comparison. The other thing very closely related to this is wanting to find that connection, wanting to find that tribe, wanting to find that sense of belonging. And how do you go about doing that? And what are the things that you're using? What are the things that you're embracing to create this sense of connection and this sense of belonging? One of the things that's happening with you guys right now is that you are using things that are, one, not permanent, but you are being told they are permanent. So a diagnosis, you're using the idea of mental illness as the most important thing about you. That is where you will find your connection, that you are getting stuck in perceptions of yourself at the very time when you are growing and changing and evolving and learning. The second thing that I don't want you to do, the second thing that makes things harder for you, is to believe that who you are right now, what you think right now, the relationships that you have right now or don't have right now are the way it's going to be. The more that you can recognize that you are malleable, you are flexible, you are not done yet, that there are so many parts of you that you have yet to discover, that you have yet to amplify. We all have different parts of ourselves. We all have things that we haven't discovered about ourselves. The messaging that I hear, and I hear it from social media, but I also hear it from the mental health field, is that this is who you are. And that you need to embrace it. You need to accept it as unchangeable, and everybody else does too. This could not be further from the truth. Because the change that you are going to experience over the next several years in your life can be amazing and dramatic and fun. And maybe some changes that you'll experience are not going to be that amazing and not going to be that fun, but you are a work in progress. So it is key that you hear that from me right now, that if you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling depressed, if you are feeling like, oh, this is not going to change, that needs to be questioned. It's okay if you have that thought, but it is not a permanent thought, just as you are not a permanent set in stone human being. And in fact, I'm a gazillion years older than you. And I'm not a permanent set in stone human being. I'm always trying to figure out how to change and grow and evolve. So pay attention to that messaging. It is the exact opposite of what I want you to hear.
When we come back, let's talk about some of the teens that you have worked with over the years that really sort of represent so many of the common traps that you see about this.
Okay.
You know, when you're listening to a song on the radio and you just have this feeling that the song was written about you or that it was someone that you love trying to say something to you? Well, now imagine the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song that actually is about them and about your relationship and that Songfinch writes just for you. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people that you love. It's completely unique, it's personal, and it lasts forever. I had the pleasure of creating a family song with Songfinch about our summer celebrations that we have every year. I knew it was going to make everybody cry, and it certainly did. I got to be honest, I was even crying giving all of the information and helping personalize my song with the writer that I chose. He absolutely delivered a beautiful acoustic song that captured exactly what I was looking for, and it was so fun to share with the family. So whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, a wedding or an anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. Don't waste another dollar on more stuff. It only takes 4 to 7 days, but that song will last forever. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and the lucky person or people can listen to it anywhere, anytime. So go to songfinch.com/fluster and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, the URL is songfinch.com/fluster. Don't forget to share your song with us too in our Facebook group, songfinch.com/fluster. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath, and on the app, it lets you know if you are burning fat or carbs, and it gives you a tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. So how Lumen works is that you breathe into the Lumen device first thing in the morning, and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fat or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. You can also breathe into it before and after workouts and meals, so you know exactly what's going on in your body in real time, and Lumen will give you tips to keep you on top of your health game. I love the extra data that I'm getting about my health right now. Because for many women of my age, as we are going through a long chapter of hormone changes, Lumen's helping me use my body's data to make the best choices. So your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. And because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, and better sleep, which is key. So Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. So what is metabolic flexibility and why should you care? Well, the key to metabolic health is something called metabolic flexibility. We love flexibility at Flusterclux, and that's where Lumen really shines. It refers to your body's ability to efficiently switch between using different fuel sources like carbs and fats, and there are preferred times to use each, and how well you can switch places you on the metabolic flexibility spectrum. So after getting to know you through your breath, Lumen gives you a metabolic flex score that you can track and improve upon. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fluster to get $100 off Lumen. That's LUMENDOTME. And use Fluster at checkout for $100 off. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
Picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn, and now picture that you're learning it from the person who's literally the best in the world at it. It's fantastic, and that's what you get with Masterclass. I recently listened to Matthew Walker's talk on sleep and the importance of consistency with sleep. I loved Bobby Brown's Masterclass, gave me all these tips about putting on makeup because, you know, I'm in front of a camera sometimes and I want to look good, and Bobby was such a big help. So, this year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Like, I actually put on makeup the way that Bobby Brown taught me how to put on makeup. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Masterclass offers over 180 instructors. So whether you want to master negotiation with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or maybe you want to learn how to just make your makeup look better with Bobby Brown, or sleep better with Matthew Walker, with Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. I loved it. There are over 200 classes to pick from. New classes are added every single month, like a class that talks about your gut health. So many interesting things to learn. So every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's absolutely no risk. Right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/Fluster. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/fluster. Masterclass.com/fluster. Okay, we're back.
It took me a while to sort of wrap my head around this, but now I get it. You travel around the world speaking to schools, audiences of high school students, younger kids too, but sometimes you get booed when you're talking to high school students. Right?
Yeah.
Like, let's call this out right now.
Okay. So generally, the booing has kind of decreased a little bit because I think that I have found a way to sort of say ahead of time, like, hey, guys, it's nice to see you. You know what? Sometimes when I go into high schools, I get booed and then everybody's like, oh, we're not going to do that. But what continues pretty consistently is I piss somebody off. So I might see somebody storm out of the auditorium when I'm talking. Sometimes they do boo me. Sometimes there's hisses, right? I can hear people going, tss. I mean, I can see kids when I'm talking to them. So sometimes they're rolling their eyes. Sometimes they're saying things to their, you know, their friends sitting next to them. So I can see the disapproval. I can see the rejection of what I'm saying. I was at a school fairly recently. And after my presentation, and I was talking about things you can do to manage your emotions, things you can do to manage your anxiety, things you can do to manage your mood, your depression. And she came up to me after the talk and basically told me that I didn't know what I was talking about, that maybe I had some advice for kids that weren't as anxious as she was, but that she had several diagnoses, that she was under medical care, and that I really had no right to say that people could do things about this, that she was going to be on medication for the rest of her life, that her doctor had told her that, almost amusingly, that her older sister, who was in medical school, had also told her that. So she came up to me in a way that showed me very quickly, probably within the first 7 seconds of her speaking to me, that she was not going to listen to information that might be helpful to her, that she was going to close that off, that she was going to actively reject it, and that she was also going to take personally that I had the audacity to tell her that she could do something to change. This has happened to me multiple times. I was interviewed for a documentary a while ago, not Anxious Nation. So if you haven't seen that, guys, it's really good. It's about teenagers. But a while ago, I was interviewed for this documentary and the woman asked me to explain how I approach anxiety. And I talked to her about the three X's, how you expect worry to show up, how we externalize it, we pull it out so that we can get some distance from our own thinking, and then how we experiment by letting the brain relearn some messages that it had gotten stuck in. So I explained that to her. So then the film came out and she was narrating it and it said, Lynn Lyons, blah, blah, blah. So I said my thing. And then the film goes back to her and she says, so that's really helpful information if you just, you have a little bit of worry. But what we're really talking about here is kids that are really struggling with anxiety.
Oh,
I was so pissed.
Yeah. They don't get it.
They didn't get it. It was exactly like that 10th grade girl that came up and said, like, well, look, you may be talking about anxiety, but you're not talking about me. You're just superficially talking about this, which honestly, like, totally offends me because I see the worst of the worst a lot of the time, right? I mean, it's a big range. So I get how that happens. I get that impulse or that defensiveness of feeling like somebody can't help you. I totally get it. But I'll tell you, there are so many clients that I see, so many kids that I've known over the years of doing this that actually do make changes and figure things out. So maybe you're listening to this and you're on the surface doing great. You get all A's. You're totally involved in activities. Everybody thinks that you're just on top of the world and you feel like you're on the edge. You feel like that metaphor that everybody uses, that you're the swan on the top of the water and you're paddling furiously underneath the water. You feel like nobody really knows what goes on inside of you because what you're conveying to the world on the outside looks so different. Nobody really sees the struggle. Nobody sees what you're doing to maintain this persona that you have. And let me just say to those of you who are stuck in this, I totally get it because the system absolutely rewards all of this. So if you feel like you're in a situation where you have to keep your grades perfect, where you have to keep your body perfect, where you have to join all the activities, where you're packing your resume so that when you apply to college, they'll see how amazing you are, I totally get it because the system supports that. And it takes a lot to be able to step back from that and step out of that. Let me give you some important information. I am not saying to you that you should step completely out of that. I'm not saying that you should trade in your A's for C's or that you should quit your activities. But what I am saying is that it is really important for you to step back and see how you convince yourself to push, push, push when you're exhausted. What are you doing over and over and over again that might look good and even feel good in the short term, but that is really wearing you down? And it's okay for you to tell somebody that. It's okay for you to say, I don't want to do 17 hours of dance a week anymore. Or I don't want to take 4 AP classes when 3 or 2 would be great. I don't want to think that I have to continually promote myself to the world in a way that's wearing me out. Sometimes it's really hard to just take that first step and to let somebody know, this is too much. I don't want to do this anymore. And I don't want you to come to that conclusion in a very global, dramatic way, right? Like, I can't do any of this anymore. I'm out. This is sometimes where kids stop going to school completely. And what I want you to do is recognize that small steps and letting go of just a few things or shifting the way you talk to yourself, even just a little bit, can make a big difference. This is not an all or nothing proposition. It's really about you saying, how can I adjust my life? How can I get rid of 1 or 2 things so that I can have an evening to myself? How can I let go of this obligation? How can I back off from this thing enough to give yourself some room to breathe? Because when there's no room for you to just kind of be, then you will get worn out. With little kids, and I think it's with big kids, and I think it's with adults too, one of the things that we know that is extremely helpful for all sorts of things, your autonomy and your mental health and your sleep, is play. So if you are in this perfectionistic trap, if you feel like right now you've got a full-time job of being the perfect teenager, think about when you play. And play means that you're having fun doing something that you love to do or that you find really enjoyable, that doesn't have any stakes, that's not being evaluated, that's not being instructed. What is it that feels playful to you? What did you love to do as a little kid? What do you love to do now? And how can you make sure that you're doing some of that in your life? Because it is so easy to get caught in this trap of needing to do everything all the time and feeling if you make one misstep or make one mistake that it's all going to come tumbling down. So that's not true, but it is incredibly compelling and hard to get out of.
That's definitely, I'm sure, a profile of the student who's really perceived as an achiever, has a lot of patterns that are draining them. I bet there's another profile, a lot of the teens that you see, where the social piece is their biggest challenge, connecting with their peers and feeling like people get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The loneliness aspect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And we're hearing a lot about loneliness, right? I use those words of talking about the epidemic and the catastrophe, and loneliness is definitely a part of this. The thing that's interesting about loneliness, everybody, is that it really is much more about something that you want, something that you are hankering for, something that you're desiring and that you can't figure out how to get it. So there are some kids that love to be in the mix. They're extroverted. They're going to join every club. They love doing this. They love doing that. And there are some people who are just much more temperamentally introverted. They're shy. They're quiet. The idea of going to a big party or being on a sports team is just not their thing. Loneliness can happen to both of those types of kids because it's a sense of connection and it's a sense of you feeling like you have people that really enjoy you for who you are. This is a question of quality, not quantity. And it's a question of figuring out how do you find the people that really are your tribe? How do you find the people that really get who you are? And you don't have to have 12 people that understand that. You can have 2. You can have 1. So my advice to you, if you're feeling this way, 1 is that there are some things that happened socially, culturally, that you did not cause, but are definitely contributing to this. 1 was certainly COVID. So if you are a teenager, if you are a young adult, you had some pretty significant period of isolation, which was really hard. And a lot of kids lost their mojo. That's just a fact. So you might be feeling like you lost your mojo or you missed out on things or there was time that was wasted or that you didn't get to figure this stuff out. That's true. Not your fault. True. The other thing is that smartphones, and I know you're going to be like, oh, here she goes. No, seriously. Smartphones have impacted your face-to-face communication. They have impacted your in-real-life interaction. And this is happening with adults too. It's just easier to not make plans, to not go out of your house, to not take those social risks. It's easier to just stay in and let the phone and let those easier, sometimes simpler, but not necessarily better social interactions fill your time. So if you are feeling as if you don't have the connections you want, if you are feeling as if you are destined to be isolated, or you're saying, I wish I did have friends, but you're sort of bargaining with yourself and saying, well, it's fine if I only have these friends online and I don't see them and I don't even know them because they live in another part of the country. It is so, so important for you to be out in the world. It's important for you to have face-to-face interactions, to be moving out in the world. Getting a part-time job is a really helpful thing in terms of making connection. Volunteering, offering your services in face-to-face, right? So we can do all sorts of volunteering online where we never see anybody, but being involved in activities where you're giving of yourself, where you're offering things, where you're participating with other people who are like-minded in that important way is enormously helpful for that feeling of connection. And it gives you the opportunity to make friendships and relationships. We want to increase the traffic. So if you're in your room all the time, and I get it, you're like, oh, nothing's going to work. I tried that and I didn't work. Get out into the world, increase the traffic. And don't think so much at this point, if you're sort of stuck in this cycle, that you all your friends or all your interactions need to be particularly with people your age, because all the practice adds up. So if you are babysitting for younger kids, if you are volunteering and there are a lot of adults that you're working with, it's okay. And all of those skills that you learn and all of that being out of your house, being out of your room and being in the world adds up and matters, and it decreases loneliness. It really does. So think about that.
I want to share that in high school, I was one of the kids who very much felt like, I can't wait to get out of this place. This is not my scene. I don't have anything in common with the majority of the people in my class. I mean, truthfully, I did feel that way. So I was really eager to get the hell out of there. I will say this, though, in hindsight, I didn't isolate and like become a loner. I still participated in social activities with people, you know, optimistically hoping for like a good conversation here and there that I got.
Yeah.
But I will say that what's really cool is it's all about practicing these skills, because as life happened, I went off to college. And then after college, I kept practicing those skills where I did find my crowd. I found like an awesome tribe. And a lot of people don't find their tribe in high school. The majority of people.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people do, and that's great. But I think there's a lot of figuring it out in high school. And there are a lot of things that we try that don't work, and a lot of friends we have that we don't keep. And that's totally, totally normal. And so there's that flexibility part, right? That I said at the beginning, that you're a work in progress for sure. I do think, as you say that, Robin, I think it's important. And this sort of leads me to the other thing that I want to talk about, which is what happens when passivity takes over. And what if you had said when you were in high school, look, if I can't have all these great friendships, I'm out. So either I've got it all figured out or it's not worth it. When we get to that place where we're trying and it's not working or it's messy, or like you say, it wasn't like you figured out how to have this great connection in high school, you were still eager to get out. A lot of people do say like, well, look at Robin now. Like, she's clearly very articulate and she has a great business and blah, blah, blah. It's hard to remember that when you were a sophomore in high school, that's not when you had all this figured out.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I mean, I think that's the point also of the whole figuring it out thing. I think that it's really easy when people start receiving diagnoses from the providers that their parents have taken them to. They're still in that developmental stage of sort of like, I'm trying to figure all this out. Ideally, they move to the next phase and say, okay, well, I've been given this label. Now, what is the action I take?
Correct. Correct. What do I do with this? And it doesn't matter what label somebody gives you. Because some labels are more permanent than others, right? If you have ADHD, you're probably going to have ADHD. If you've got OCD, you're going to have OCD. Depression is not one of those labels, although I think that you young people have been told that it is. Much anxiety that we work on and we deal with can absolutely be treated in a way that allows you to move forward so that you're not run by it, right? It's not who you are. It doesn't define you. So absolutely. And also just know, like, I was totally bullied in school.
It's important to say.
It's important to say. When I was a sophomore like you, I had a group of friends that I thought really liked me and really cared about me, but they ditched me on a regular basis. I remember being on the phone, you know, back in the old days, you had to call. And so you call and they say like, all right, we're going to go out. This is a sophomore in high school. We're going to go out and do this thing. And I go, okay, great. And they go, we'll call you back. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And nobody calls me back. So I call the house of one of my friends, the mom answers. And I go, hi, Mrs. Hudson, it's Lynn. And the mom is like, oh, honey, did they not call you back? They left a half an hour ago. I mean, that happened to me. So we all go through that. And it's so, so painful being rejected and not figuring that out. Now, on the other side of it, I had some wonderful, amazing friends that were just smart and caring and creative. The ones that rejected me, like I look back on it now, I'm like, why were you spending all your time trying to get their approval? So it really is a process of figuring out where you fit and who you are.
It's so true. I think that my daughter's a senior in high school and I have like a great tribe of friends in my life. Some of them I've known since I was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that. We also talk about the trend where there were chapters where I wasn't as close to certain friends as others, but then like it came back around to our friendships and that sense of feeling connected and belonging is everyone's goal. And it's a moving thing. And where you're at right now isn't where it will always be.
Yeah.
I couldn't articulate this as well until I'm a parent myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in crowds when I was younger where I didn't really feel like I fit in, there were still grown-ups, teachers, for example, who I thought were really cool, who had a lot of really interesting things to say. I felt like they got me about certain things. And I think that in hindsight, I looked for those conversations of two minds getting each other wherever they occurred. It could be with a relative, a teacher, it could be with younger kids on your block. Who has gotten you?
Right.
And how do you make sure that you check in with those people, especially when like the main peer group in your grade doesn't feel like they do?
Right. And there is some really great research about that, that kids really do very well when they've got other people, particularly adults that aren't their parents, that really see them for who they are. And you hear it, they're giving some award speech or whatever, and they'll thank their coach or they'll thank that teacher. That video of Adele, right? Have you ever seen that? She's giving that concert and they ask her.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. They ask her who was really important to her. And she says, oh, my, you know, in her great accent, like, oh, it was my music teacher when I don't, or English teacher.
You can stop with the accent.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Sorry. And they, of course, they had set it up so that the teacher was in the audience.
Yeah. And Emma Thompson calls her out. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it was just like the most touching thing. So here is Adele, freaking Adele. I mean, how amazing is she? And when she was in middle school or high school, she needed this adult that said to her, I think you got something.
I see you.
I see you. So look for those people. I mean, it's wonderful if we have those great connections, but
we don't always.
We don't always. And the other people count. So even in addition to your peers, the other people really count. Yeah.
I mean, the good news is I think most people, even if high school wasn't the greatest social experience for them, there's a really nice opportunity for college to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Not in every case, but in most cases, it can be simply because there's simply more people from which you can look and find the tribe.
Right. And if you're not going to college, right, it means that whatever you choose next, because whatever comes after high school is going to probably expand your social contacts. Your first job, if you're going to, you know, work in a place with a whole bunch of adults that you don't know and you're going to figure out, I mean, my son is in that process now of having this job with all of these older guys. And it's just like the stories he tells, it's just been an amazing experience for him.
My high school jobs, I had really fun community with people at work in high school too. And it was also really fun that there wasn't anyone from my school at my job. Really cool opportunity and window where you get to go somewhere new.
Yeah, right.
That's a fun thing. Or summer camp or those other opportunities where like you get to go and be somebody without your second grade history attached to you.
Right, exactly. Robin and I travel a lot. And part of traveling is that you learn that you have to compromise, right? So maybe you're not going to get the best seat on the plane. Well, you know where you shouldn't compromise? You shouldn't compromise with your health care. When it comes to your health, there's no compromising, everybody. Don't go back to that one doctor who didn't really pay attention to you, who rushed you through your appointments. Check out ZocDoc. This is the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, insurance. So literally no compromises here. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be on hold with a receptionist. These doctors all have verified reviews from real patients. So the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is just between 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. I have two young adult sons. They are always needing something, right? We've had broken elbows. We've had tonsils. We've had this. We've had that. If I were a young person, if I were a parent trying to help my young person find a doctor, this is what I would use. So go to ZocDoc.com/Flester and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Flester. ZocDoc.com/Flester. If you are a mom who's trying to keep your calendar organized, keep your family's appointments where they need to be, then I'll tell you, the Skylight Calendar is a product that you ought to check out. You know how it is. Running a household can be pure chaos and it can be so stressful. This is why you need to check out the Skylight Calendar. It is going to make your life easier, mom. It really is. The Skylight Calendar is a smart touchscreen calendar and organizer for all your chores, groceries, to-do lists, and a great way to manage appointments to make sure they never overlap and they're never missed. It helps keep busy households on track so families can get time back for moments that really matter. The Skylight Calendar is so easy to use and to set up. It's not going to frustrate you. You're going to be able to get it going within minutes. It syncs events from other family calendars, including Google, Apple, Outlook. You can add events directly using the touchscreen or with the free Skylight mobile app. Updates to linked calendars will automatically appear on the Skylight Calendar at home. So no more worrying that you guys are going to forget something. No more cluttered paper calendars. It shows all family events together in one spot. The events are color-coded, so you can easily see what everyone has going on each week. When the calendar's not in use, you can turn it into a digital picture frame. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love the Skylight Calendar, you'll receive a full refund. They offer a 120-day money-back guarantee and free returns. You can't beat it.
I think the feature that I love most is the collaborative way we can all add to the grocery list. And then when I'm ready to place an online order, whether I'm at home or my office, I have that list and there's no more items that we forget.
So, as a special time-limited offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/flusterclucks. That's skylightcal.com/flusterclucks. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/flusterclucks. Okay, so now back to the show.
Lynn, there's so much to say, but these are the three points that I heard you say that I think you really want teens to hear. One is the whole achievement culture and the drain and the burnout aspect of things where you're not alone in making everything seem great. So check in with yourself and maybe make some small adjustments. The social piece is huge. Feeling like you're part of community is huge. I think you and I both just want everyone to know that there's more opportunity for community throughout your life.
And there are so many opportunities now that maybe are not ones that come first to mind for people. But like you said, that there are jobs and volunteering and other adults and people who really get you. So expand your opportunities for connection.
Yeah, throughout your life, you will get more opportunity. The big piece that you started with, let's talk about. You don't have to always feel this way, which is your message of optimism in contrast to what many of these teens who boo you, that's what their therapist is not saying.
Yeah. And it's always surprising to me when I feel like I'm up there saying like, hey, everybody, I've gotten good news. And people are like, boo.
Boo, good news.
I mean, yeah. It's not like I stand up there and people are throwing tomatoes at me, right? I mean, it happens sporadically. It's just memorable, obviously. So here's what I want you guys to hear loudly and clearly. Passivity is not the way out of anything. And a lot of what is happening and a lot of what I see and a lot of what I hear is that when kids get a diagnosis or when kids are struggling, the message that they get either from themselves or from other people is that this is who you are. And it doesn't mean that anxiety and depression aren't real. Of course they are. It doesn't mean that they aren't incredibly disruptive and challenging and so, so heavy sometimes. But there are things that we want to do actively that change the brain, that change the way you think, that change the way that you experience the world. If I can get kids to be active in their own recovery, if I can get kids to be active in their own lives, I see amazing things. And if you are feeling anxious and you've pulled out of your life and you're passively sort of hoping that it's going to get better, if somebody has given you a diagnosis that you believe now is a lifetime thing, if somebody has said to you, well, you're going to have to take this medication for the rest of your life because you're depressed, if somebody has said to you, well, this is the way we treat this, I'm just going to push back on that, everybody. This is about getting active in your own recovery, in your own life, in your own mood. This is about mood management. Knowing the things that make your mood worse, knowing the things that make your mood better, and knowing the things that make your mood better for a little bit, but worse in the long term. If somebody was an alcoholic, and believe me, I've known plenty in my life, people who have alcoholism who say, you know what, I've got this thing. It happened to me for a lot of different reasons, but I need to be on top of it. I need to prevent relapse. I need to stay connected. Those people still have alcoholism, but they don't sit back and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. They actively work to make sure that their connections, their environment, that they are engaging in what they need to do on a regular basis in order to stay healthy. You as young people, I want you to hear the message. It is up to you. And with support, of course, and love and encouragement, it is up to you to actively do the things that make your mental health better. And we know what they are. They're about connection. They're about sleep. Are you getting enough sleep? It's maybe taking a social media break. It's about moving your body. It's about being outside. It's about being in the world rather than being in the darkness, literally and figuratively. If you're in your room in the darkness, therapy can help. Active therapy can help. It's about building skills. It's about pushing yourself beyond the passivity that oftentimes a diagnosis entertains or supports. Do, do, do. You can do this. Don't believe the hype. Don't get caught in the permanent view of yourself when there are so many things, including your brain, you guys. Your brains are incredibly malleable, but there are so many things that are dynamic and flexible and changeable. That's what I want you to hear.
what's the thing you always say, especially to people who are depressed? You will not always feel this way.
Right. You will not always feel this way. And you are not the best person to talk to you about you. Don't believe everything you think. You will not always feel this way. This is about looking for ways, looking for help, looking for support to change the way that you get stuck. If you're driving your truck and you get stuck in the mud, you don't just go like, oh, forevermore now, I'm going to just be in this mud. You also just don't spin your wheels and get deeper and deeper into the mud. You say, okay, so what do I have to do? What do I have to change so that I can extract myself from this mud? The same thing goes for our mental health. We don't give up. We don't spin our wheels. We figure out what we have to do differently. And if you need help doing that, get help. There are a lot of great resources. TikTok is not the top of my list. Thanks for listening. And if you found this podcast helpful, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find this information.
And if you'd like to dig deeper on any of these topics, we have specialized playlists on our Spotify profile, and the link is in the show notes. Topics like teens, depression, and OCD.
Bye, Lynn.
Bye, Robin.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.